This podcast is brought to you by Art Margins, the online journal of East and Central European contemporary art. Download more podcasts and read interviews, articles, and reviews at www.artmargins.com.
This is an interview at the Go East Festival in Wiesbaden, Germany, and the people conducting the interview are John Riley, music and film critic from London.
And Natasha Drobek, who's a film scholar.
And we are talking to Gabi Babic, the director of Go East Film Festival. Gabi, the first question will be John's question for you.
Well, it's a very simple one, I suppose, which is, here we are in the 12th year of the festival, so can you just get us up to speed on the history of the festival a little bit?
Yes, Go East was founded 2001 by the German Film Institute, Deutsches Film Institut, and the idea was there was a political will also in the region, I mean in the state of Hessen and the city of Wiesbaden, to have a cultural event dedicated to Eastern Europe, and it had, of course, to do back then with the EU enlargement process and with the history of the German Film Institute, which has its archive actually here in Wiesbaden. And they also had, in the history of Wiesbaden in the 50s, they had the tradition of Eastern European Film Weeks that were organized here in the city. They were rather small, like dedicated to national cinematographies, let's say Bulgarian Film Week. So there was this kind of connection to Eastern Europe already, besides the fact that, of course, in the 19th century, a lot of Russian people came to the city of Wiesbaden because it's a spa town, and you have this very rich connection between Russian culture and intelligentsia and bourgeoisie and Wiesbaden. So it was founded in 2001, and from the beginning on, a very important component of Go East was this symposium, so to have a scientific element or a scholar element beside the competition. That was important for the German Film Institute, of course, as it is an archive and working on film history. And then over the years, some element, it grew, obviously. The first two most important partners or finances of the festival are the state of Hessen and the city of Wiesbaden, but then there were some other German foundations came and supporting the festival, and so we could enlarge the program. And it's actually my second year as director, so I contributed some kind of new elements, and yes, that's it, maybe.
Could you tell us a little bit about those new elements, how you found the festival and how you wanted to push it off maybe into different directions?
So I'm very much interested on focusing my work on, like, I'm always searching for some kind of topics or of themes that are kind of on the street, that I have the feelings or it's kind of important to give a forum. And very often it's not my idea, it's just my intuition that I think, okay, this could be something very interesting and that, and we should pick up this and give a forum. So it's kind of, for me, as a curator, also intuition and looking a lot around and looking for people that inspire me, that's kind of the most important part of the job, to gather those kind of energies. So gather those energies. So I started to add some thematic elements to Go East. I have founded this new section Beyond Belonging, which is also always dedicated to one topic each year. And I wanted to, the symposiums before, there's this long tradition, it's the 12th already symposium at Go East, but before it used to be, it was It was curated by one person mainly for 10 years, I think. It was Hans-Joachim Schlegel. And then, not myself, but Nadia Rademacher, who was director before me, she invited then Oksana Bulgakova to do a symposium. So I also think it's kind of a good idea to change, to have every year a different, maybe, team or approach or idea or scholarly approach in the symposium. So that's something that I also changed to look for.
This year the topic was the Len Film Studio. I was interested to hear from you whether you started working on this. I mean, the festival started working on it before the Berlinale big studio retrospective, which was also this year, and it was also dedicated to a Russian studio. So do you know who was first in this?
Well, that's a question you should ask Olaf and Barbara. I cannot really... Can I recall the moment when they first asked me to if it would be possible to do something on Len Film at Go East? I think it was in Oberhausen last year. So from that point on, we were kind of connected and discussing possibility, and the decision what was made to do it was made, I think, somewhere in June or July. So I don't know.
Okay.
Now you have to reconstruct who was first.
Because it's amazing that there's such an interest in historical Soviet studios. It's also amazing that so many people came as guests and also just as people arriving to listen to the conference. There's a huge crowd actually listening. About the future of the symposium, will it be always like this? It's now much, much more kind of like directed at not only scholars, but also film critics, and maybe also organized by film critics. Is that what you're kind of aiming for, or is it just this year?
It was this year that I think it thanks really to this concept of Barbara and Olaf, and to the fact maybe that, like, in global cultural terms, we are in this moment of decay of many cultural concepts, like, or not concepts, like cinema. You know, we are losing cinema, basically. So, of course, there's a... Yes, we are facing a new... We are really losing cinema, I'm convinced, as an everyday cultural practice for normal crowd, right? So we as scholars or cineasts or festival makers, we can preserve kind of elements of this and give a forum to, you know, to think about what was cinema, what was the... it's obvious that we are thinking about cinema in a historical approach because it's disappearing. So I lost now my track. The question was...
Very interesting thought, though. So we're kind of like mummifying cinema here. That's
I think...
Which is not bad, A mummy...
No, I have this idea of history, of film history, even if I'm not a film historian, or I would even not call myself a film scholar because I'm not doing research, you know. I'm basically organizing events and what I told you before, looking for interesting ideas and people who have come kind of, who are inspiring to me, and I think they could be inspiring to others. So so it's a kind of a compilation work, which really does not consist of doing own research. So, but my idea of history would be a search for, I'm very Krakauer, I adore Krakauer, Siegfried Krakauer, and his last book, which is called History, the Last Things Before the Last, I think in English, Geschichte vor den letzten Dingen. And he has this concept of that you look into history for lost processes, he calls it, like really moments of utopian moments or moments where something was really kind of possible. And you look back and look for those moments, and he kind of connects it to cinema. And he says cinema is something very similar is something very similar to history. So that's how I work. I look for those authors, filmmakers, curators, scholars who have this kind of affinity also for, you know, for these niches, for these lost tracks, for this utopian like glimpses. Or it's very, you know, it's banal to these words are like kind of worn out, but anyway, I try, I insist on them anyway. So, and I, and that's maybe something. Is then I think in this year's symposium we saw that it could, it can be very productive, right? And I hope to do something like that next year also. And
I mean, as we're, as you say, we're on this tipping point of cinema transmogrifying into something else,
yes,
or ceasing to exist at all. Might this be an idea to a moment not to look back historically, but try to project forward and imagine what cinema might be in the future?
Yes, that's a tough question. That's really, for me, it's a tough question because I can only look to the future through the by looking through to the past. So I may be also the wrong person to ask for some future ideas, concepts, whatever, because I'm so much used to it, doing it the other way around. And yes,
I suppose on a, I mean, another historical question is that well, another kind of historical futuristic question is that you know, over the past few years we've seen a whole procession of new waves. You know, you think about the, mm-hmm. the past 15 years or so, you know, there's been an uprising of you know, Mexican cinema and mm-hmm. et cetera, various countries, and of course Romania's been one that's recently had a sudden explosion of high quality cinema, and obviously you've been brilliantly placed to ride that wave, if you like, and perhaps even support it. Would you, do you get a sense of another new wave of where that might be coming from?
Right now in Eastern Europe, uh-huh. you mean? I think of maybe Bulgaria right now. I think Bulgarian cinema is kind of changing at the moment, but it's not that it's not that strong impact on me like it was with the Romanian films, like when they emerged a couple of years ago. But it's something I think interesting happening in Bulgarian cinema. Then no, unfortunately, I'm always hoping for the Balkans too. That something will happen there, hopefully, but it's not really. Maybe in some documentary, documentary directions or documentary directors that are quite interesting. But and then, of course, I very much adore the work that has been done by Cocktail in Russia. And but I'm not, no, beside this kind of feeling that I think Bulgarian cinema is quite changing at the moment, I don't really see a new wave emerging in Eastern Europe.
What about Ukraine?
Ukraine? Well, I I don't really, I think I cannot really answer you to Ukraine, yeah.
Okay.
I would talk about Loznitsa, but what have I seen?
He's considered,
yeah.
Yes,
yes.
Because it was produced in
Ukraine,
but also by Germany, his last film.
Yeah, I know.
Shestimaya.
Mm-hmm. But I don't consider him, that's funny, because I don't, I don't consider him, with, I would not relate him so much to the Ukraine or to. He says of himself he's a Russian filmmaker. That was a question I was asking him because we had all these journalists and or questions, right, is he Russian, is he white Russian? And then I wrote to him, Sergei, when we speak about you or write something, what would you prefer? And he said, oh, well, it's very obvious, I'm a Russian filmmaker, because it's not a question of passport, it's a question of cultural identity.
It's like Kira Muratova, who mm-hmm. produces in Ukraine, but mm-hmm. still she actually is so much kind of part of Russian culture. That's a bit different, maybe, but it's very difficult, I think.
And she wasn't even born there at all.
Well, okay, in Bessarabia,
yeah, exactly.
Which makes it even more complicated. But I think it's interesting how difficult it is for Ukrainian cinema to somehow create an identity, and looking at the so-called Ukrainian school, which is like mm. Dovzhenko mm. and Parajanov, who was not Ukrainian, but
yeah.
There's nothing much happening in Ukraine trying to somehow connect with this tradition. Mm. But, okay, I was just interested.
It seems strange to me that at a time like this, that one of the great things that cinema can do is to help to define a national identity. And this is exactly the moment when you would have thought that that's exactly what would be happening
in
Ukraine.
For example, the Czechs are very kind of like good in somehow producing very Czech films,
yes, that's right.
comedies, mm. often
melodrama.
Also, yeah. Often they are maybe not so well. They don't translate well, but still you can somehow get a feel what that is. You know, yes. a Czech film. Whereas with Ukraine, I'm kind of like really curious how it will be in the future. But
I think the early stages are about talking to yourself, in a sense. It's about the nation talking to itself, and you know, the fact that Czech cinema doesn't translate very well sometimes isn't important, because that's not what its role is at the moment. Its role is to talk to its own constituency. Mm-hmm. But
okay, I have one question about the symposium, which was on also on the Len Film Studio, and today there was a podium like a round table
closing discussion
on the topic of the studio Len Film today, which has considerable problems. And it was interesting, there were some people talking about finances, saying all the money is in Moscow, and it's very difficult to get attention, money, people to stay in St. Petersburg, and also attract the money to that city and to this studio. It was interesting that actually they, I think, exchanged ideas here, which they maybe wouldn't have exchanged at home, because everybody belongs, of course, to a certain group,
yes.
and it's all very political. Do you see Go East as a forum for something like that?
Yes, of course. I mean, that's something that's really exciting. It's something like that happens, like people who are normally not maybe on one table talking to each other. And then you know, when we started, or Barbara and Olaf started putting together the program, and I was like, I'm really not an expert at all, but I was just, you know, getting the information to how many films, and we were, at the moment when we informed Len Film, it was like, it was not so easy, you know, because they were kind of course they wanted to be involved, but we informed them quite late when the program was set. But, and in the moment it looked like, okay, there will be some angry people coming to us or writing something angry to us. But then, after hearing this discussion here today, I have the feeling like it was quite productive, wasn't it?
So the what they call Peterskaya Shkola, the Leningrad spirit, is a bit different from, you know, Moskovsky, whatever, Moscow, maybe way of being very aggressive sometimes, so maybe they're a bit more intelligent.
it was a very, very frank discussion.
Yeah, frank, but civilized.
Yeah.
Which is not in Moscow. You could also, you know, people start fighting. And, so I thought that was really interesting. About financing is one question I was interested in. Somebody criticized the Russian government for giving money to mainstream films mainly. This is not totally true, by the way, because a lot of art house films are also financed. But what do you think about this? Because I know the situation is similar in the Czech Republic, where also the fund likes to give money to films which will be at least halfway successful. And there was the case with Václav Kadrnka, his 80 letters, that it wouldn't get financing, although he applied, I think, 7 times. Mm. And the Berlinale then had to give him money to finish his film, and it was shown at Berlinale and was well received. But they said, well, we don't want to make a film which is like which will not be watched by the normal audience. So what do you think about this? I mean, you looking at it from your perspective.
On the scale of whole Eastern Europe, or I don't know. However
you want to see it. Because you also, I think, support films, right? You have a prize.
Yes, we have a co-production prize for which is really for production money for German Eastern European co-production for short fiction film and animation film and documentary, and yes, of course. I mean, I encounter a lot of people in Eastern Europe that are really having big problems to finance their films, and they need years to finance a film. But it's so different. You cannot really. In Poland, it's a totally different situation from let's say Russia or the Balkans. Poland is quite well equipped, I would say, and also caring about auteur cinema and. But then again, in Russia, there are a lot of good art house films produced. So, but I know again that there are people having problems or needing 2 or 3 or 4 years to gather money to make a film. So, I don't really think that the situation in general is so different from Western Europe. So, if you are a big name in author cinema or in art house, it's much easier. If you're a debut filmmaker, it's much harder. So,
Well, you had somebody here who was involved in an art house project. His name is Denis Asokin, the writer, and he wrote the script for a film which was very well received in Venice, but not so well received in Russia. The film's called The Buntings of Sianki. And it's from 2010, I think. Well, we were together at the reading yesterday. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, how did you find him and how did this happen? Mm-hmm. Because it's really nice that you also invite authors and not only directors. Mm-hmm.
To be frank, we had Go East readings every year until last year, and then we had some discussion. The program is too big. We are doing too many side programs, so let's skip the lecture. And then I was in Saratov at the Documentary Film Festival in September. And I knew, of course, I saw Ovsyanki, and I very much liked this film. And I was searching for the author, and of course I was doing this research about the Marian peoples and if they really exist, and I was like hooked. And then it was by coincidence that I was in the jury in Saratov and I met Denis Asokin there, and I thought, wow, that's something really nice to happen, because again, there's this, it's about really finding, I like to be inspired by people, by writers or by films and by directors, it doesn't matter. And so, yes, I met him there. We were talking to each other. He told me about the. I did not know about the Suhrkamp. I had not read the short pieces in the Suhrkamp edition, the Schönste Proletariat der Welt, which translates in the most beautiful proletariat in the world. Or my English is not really okay. So and I was then I read his short novels and yes, and it was clear to me I have to bring him to go east. It's important. It's just, you know, it's just important. I'm not doing research on literature. I don't read Russian. I understand Russian quite well, but that's it.
Great. So that was a personal thing of yours. That's mm-hmm. good. I think he was refreshingly different, mm-hmm. The way he presented himself, which mm-hmm. kind of like is good because normally you always see people from Moscow. Mainly, and I also go to Moscow most of the time, and he's from Kazan, I think, mm-hmm. right? Let's say from the Volga region. And he was provincial in some kind of like most refreshing way, in a good mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that I went to hear him.
Me too.
Yeah. I wanted to, because we started off by talking about the history of the festival, and then a little later on we talk about, you know, where the next new wave is coming from. And you mentioned that you were kind of rooting for the Balkans. And, no, you know, Balkan cinema is fascinating, but do you think that it's the unfortunate political situation? Because certainly, you know, when... you know, I've been... For instance, at Balkan Films, at the London Film Festivals, where they've been barracked. Do you think that the political situation is something that's hindering the film production side of things?
Yes, of course. If you think about Bosnia and Herzegovina, it's like a state in like despair or stagnation. There's no like. Political whatsoever vision of how this state could really function in the future. So it affects cinema production, and they are trying very hard with co-production and finding with European money and prices, script development, in the region they cooperate a lot and things are happening. But in terms of, I don't really see. I don't really see in Croatia, in Bosnia, Serbia, I don't really see a new wave. But maybe, you know, they are kind of rediscovering also their own traditions now again. And this is an interesting moment, you know, to relate again to the Black Wave, for example. Or the Black Wave is, in the last 2 or 3 years, quite well rediscovered or in the process of being rediscovered, and then there are now directors that are completely forgotten, that were not Black Wave but even more subversive. And I was just talking yesterday to Yuri Medin from the Slovenska Kinoteka, and he told me, Gabi, I have this and this and these names in the archive copies. They have never been shown in the West, you know, that the Black Wave films traveled, Makaveev traveled, but there are other great, great films, and they have not been screened for decades. So there's, again, we are dealing with history. So there's so much to be rediscovered and connect again to some traditions maybe, and to be inspired by them, and then we will maybe see something.
I was going to say, so does that mean you would look at maybe introducing or stepping up the archive content?
Stepping up means...
increasing the archive content of the festival.
Yeah, I mean, I'm... during my film studies, I used to be in Bologna quite often, and again, I never worked in an archive. I've never done archive research. Sorry?
Thanks God.
No, but it's something very inspiring for me, and I pick up this and see this, and I want to continue this, of course, and to find people in archives that are that want to cooperate and that want to show their copies, because it's not an easy environment, you know. There are some very hard cookies, and some of them are really open for projects and corporations and screenings.
And do you see, again, looking back over the 12 years. I mean, there's been a vast number of changes in not just in Eastern Europe, but in Europe generally over that period. That must have had an impact on the festival in some way, I guess.
Well, that's kind of a global question. I don't know where to start.
Maybe
yes, of course. I mean, yes, I'm more and more, of course, this really global perspective is a very influential one that I, that, you know, that we cannot really, or it's a kind of double bind, that's it. You know, I try to focus on seeing what's something very specific in a region or a country, something very unique, but never being essentialist, you know, that's important. And on the other hand, that's the one bind, and the other one is I want to have a global perspective on things. So it's and this is kind of the tricky thing. You have to be creative with this double bind, I think, and never forget about watching at something or just looking for this very specific element in something. Not doesn't matter if it's which form of culture, and looking for this which is. In transcending, or you know.
So I mean, you have relatively stable funding.
Yes, that's
so
true.
So, do you feel that the festival is seen, and would you want the festival to be seen as a kind of a tent pole or a something around which, you know, whatever the political turbulence. Whatever political turbulence is happening in
yes.
Europe, that this is a kind of a solid point.
Yes, I want to reflect. I think of a festival or in my work, whatever I do, I want to reflect turbulences or political developments or social developments. That's I think that's the point of doing what we are doing, and so. I want more funding, of course. Everyone wants more funding, but we are quite stable because, yes, the city of, as I told you, the city of Wiesbaden, state of Hessen, they like us. I mean, we are a good project for identifying in the city and in the region. But I'm trying, of course, always we are trying to find more money to be able to do more. Let's say one idea would be I would love to have some kind of script development or market, or which could help people to develop their ideas in countries like Ukraine, where there is like absolutely no, or is in the moment in the process of being like established of educating producers. For example, it's just an example. There is no education in production, proper production, as far as I know. When I talk to people, they tell me this. Mm-hmm. So there could be some work done, but I need money, of course, to invite experts, to invite the guests, to do some workshop, to have some prizes. So, but it's kind of difficult at the moment to find money.
Of course, yes.
Sorry?
I think so. Do you think so?
I think we want to thank you. This was very interesting.
Yeah, it's been a great overview of the whole festival and some actually quite specific questions, and also looking some of the ideas that you have for the future as well. It sounds really interesting. So
thanks.
It's been great,
and
I've enjoyed it very much.
That's really satisfying to hear, of course.
Okay, thank you.